You are now tuned into Accelerate to Great Podcast with Nehemiah Davis, a podcast for aspiring and established entrepreneurs looking for their next level of greatness.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Accelerate to Great Podcast. I am super excited about today's podcast. When I say I have someone who is absolutely incredible about the grace our amazing platform, you're in for a treat. So as you guys know, I'm always talking about the importance of networking. I'm always talking about the importance of going to events where you can learn. But more importantly than learning at events, I tell you to go to these events so you can meet like-minded people. I tell you to go to these events so you can build a network. My simple philosophy is go to networking events, meet one to three people, build a relationship with them. And over time, after 1 year, you have now built a relationship with 36 people, right? 36 amazing people. So today I'm bringing you this amazing guy by the name of Todd Fleming. Met him through the secret networking group that I'm in. And when I say how we met was absolutely incredible. I was outside, ran to the event kind of late. He said, "Hey, you Nehemiah?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm Nehemiah. Who, like, what's up, bud? How you making out?" And I was like, "Who won the check? I'm kind of late." He said, "I won." I'm like, "What? I won?" So I was literally talking to the winner right there. From that very moment, we built. And I'm happy to call him a friend. I'm happy to call him someone who I can learn from, someone who I can get advice from. He's a real estate guru, a financial expert. And today, I'm super excited to bring him on to Accelerate the Great, to share with you some information to help you grow, to help you win, and to help you get to that next level. So without further ado, welcome to Accelerate the Great. Todd, how you doing?
I'm doing incredible. Thank you for that intro. That was amazing. And the way we met was perfect. I actually saw you like walking away at one point, and I was like, "It's Nehemiah. I have to meet Nehemiah." Because I remember the first time I ever found out about you was actually from Andy Frisella's podcast, the MF CEO Project. Yeah. So when I heard about you on that, which is a couple of years ago now, 3 years ago now.
At least three.
Which is crazy because it was like early in that podcast that you were on it. Yeah. But like you were super inspirational in everything that you're doing. And I remember them talking about you taking notes while being there, which I was like, that is the type of guy that I need to be like in contact with. And that is like, it's crazy that we ended up being able to meet the way that we did after that. Cause that was,
as we speak, I have my notebook and I take notes when I'm recording, when I'm doing this with my guests. Or I want to be fully engaged, but I don't want to miss anything that you say. So I'm locked in. So I just want to say thank you so much for getting on the call. Give us a little background story. You're in real estate. You're in finance. You absolutely love it. Every week you come on live and just give people just different trainings on finance. And I understand that people are getting this type of information when they were younger. I only can imagine where I would be and so many other people. So give us a little background story of how you got so financial savvy and in the real estate industry. Let us know.
So what you just said is actually exactly why I started it, because so you're speaking about the Power of Finance show. I host it every week. I go live and talk about the most taboo topic on the planet, which is money, in front of as many people as I can, which is super, super comfortable, right? Especially the first few times that you're doing it. And the reason I did that was because just of what you just mentioned. It's like, if I knew this when I was younger, what would my life look like now? Comparatively to just like really figuring it out a handful of years ago,
right?
Or maybe just a couple of years ago, and like being able to scale it to where it is now. So in the beginning, the other reason being like, how did I get so financially savvy, or how did I end up like making that transition to really taking a focus on it, was that at one point in my life, and I just started sharing this like a few weeks ago, I haven't even, like, I don't think a lot of people know this yet, but at one point in my life, I was so crippled financially that I had to make six figures a year to pay the minimum interest payments on my debts. Like, wow. It was crippling. It was devastating. It was emotionally draining. It took a toll on my relationships. It took a toll on, I actually lost an engagement during it. I lost, you know, my ability to have options and make decisions. I was too busy just trying to go to work and make things work, and then blaming it on the job and not myself and not taking accountability. So once, like, one day it just clicked that it was my fault. And like the day that switched over, I decided, like, okay, I need to make a decision. I'm either going to file for bankruptcy and delay my financial life for the better part of a decade, or I am going to take the more difficult path and learn how to get out of this and then and then learn how to grow from there. So thankfully, thank the Lord, that I chose the latter. I chose the more difficult path, which, you know, at first is more uncomfortable, but in the end is so much better. And that's living proof of that now. So if I can get out of it, anybody can. And then, so that's really where that started. And then I had always had a passion or like a love or an interest in real estate. I shouldn't say it's a love yet because I was just interested in it. But once I got into real estate and started seeing deals happen, got my first deal done, completed my first wholesale, saw that first like $7,500 check come in, which felt like a $100,000 check because I didn't have any money at the time. So like once that happened, it was just off to the races.
Tell us about the first deal, because generally the first deal is that thing that motivates you either to keep going. Well, for me, it's like that motivates me. It's not even no either. First deal, I'm excited, I'm pumped, and I'm ready to keep crushing it.
Yeah, when the first deal happens, the red carpet rolls out, champagne falls from the heavens. Like it, there is no better feeling. It switches your mind from belief to real, which is a huge, huge factor in whatever you're doing. So when you first start something, you're going to feel like a little bit of a fraud because it's totally new. No one around you knows what's going on. You're like trying to figure it out. You're like, am I even real? I don't even know what's going on right now. I'm confused. But once you manage to complete that first transaction, it switches from belief to real. And then you can tell people like, no, this is real. And once you know it's real in your mind, or once you understand that, like the second deal's there already, the third deal's there already, the fourth deal's there already, like you really start rolling quickly. You build a bunch of momentum. You welcome big momentum into your life. Yeah. And at that point, you just become this freight train. So you're able to reinvest back into your business. You're able to create other options, create other opportunities, capitalize on other opportunities, which is really the ultimate goal in the end, is to capitalize on as many opportunities as humanly possible and recognize as many as humanly possible. So you're able to do that if you're in real estate, after you do your first couple of deals, because you understand like, okay, I can solve any problem. It's just, it doesn't just have to like, I'm not lucky.
Right.
I'm actually creating this, and this is determined by the action and the consistency that I put in.
Wow. That's major. That's major. That's good. I appreciate that, that response. So let me ask you a question. The way social media is going now in business, speed is important in 2018. I feel like taking action, and this is a question I like to ask my guests, because I want to understand how do you help people execute more? Like one of the reasons why I get things done and why I'm moving forward in life, because I execute quick. Like I'm not the smartest in the room. I'm not the sharpest in the room, but I execute on ideas and information as quick as I possibly can. And you're someone who executes as well, but how can we encourage and get more people? How do you get more people to take action? Like you got your new program in Kingdom Real Estate, and you got people who take immediate action. Then you got people who kind of like, I got to think about it for months. But I want to try to figure out how can we help people take quicker action in 2018 to make sure their goals and dreams come true. Is there a certain mindset that you instill in a person? Like I'm trying to convince people, take quicker action to improve your situation faster.
The absolute best way that I have found to help people take action, and this is in myself as well, is to create massive and unbelievable clarity. So people lack action, or people lack moving forward, is when they are fearful of something unknown. They don't know what the next step is, so they don't take the first one until they understand what the second one is. If you have the ability to break down a situation or a problem and look at it in a way that there is one most important thing that you need to be doing, and you can only focus on that, you can go do that then. When you are trying to look at something as a whole, or you're trying to look at something as, okay, there's 13 steps to this and I don't know number 7, so I can't start on number 1, it creates confusion, a lack of direction, and then you get overwhelmed and then you're never going to take action. So the absolute number one thing that I have found in helping me implement, especially like literally taking idea to real actionable steps extremely, extremely quickly, is breaking something down that way. I have unbelievable clarity and I can see it. Okay, this is the one thing that's most important right now. I literally had a call with somebody yesterday. We had like 15 things to do, right? And now typically when you have 15 things to do, you're like, oh, this is terrible. This is never going to get done. Where do we even start? That's actually the greatest question you can ask yourself. Where do we start? I even told him, like, before we got off the phone, okay, it sounds like the most important thing here is that the number one thing I need to do is just focus on creating content, and then we can move past that, and we can edit, we can design, we can structure, we can any of the other pieces on the back end, right? So at that point, it's just focusing on one thing, and when you have one thing that's most important, you can go do it.
That's good. I like that. And I had Danny Morrell on as a guest, and he was talking about the importance of just being clear. I think being clear in what you want gives you, you know, gives you the opportunity to get better results. I'm very clear that when I go to networking events, I meet people like you. When I go to masterminds, I meet people like you. So I'm clear, and I understand by any means I need to be at those events, because every relationship that I'm building is starting to compound, and then it is only helping me to get further. It's only helping me to get sharper, and I'm constantly fine tuning how I can improve my life by going to events and various things like that. So,
especially if it's uncomfortable, and especially if you're not in the mood to do it.
Ooh, facts.
Like if those are two things, if you are not ready or set to like do it, you need to go do it.
One of the things that I preach on, Todd, I'm like, hey, go to an event by yourself with someone you don't know, because it forces you to talk to people. I met you at that event. I wasn't with a friend, a homie. I had to go around and start networking and talk to people. If not, I'll be by myself. I didn't know anyone but one person there. So I started working that room as quickly as I could. And then I was against time. So it was one of the greatest things that I did.
It's perfect. And if you go by yourself, it eliminates the possibility of you just going to sit with your friend. Like, everybody wants to go sit with their friend, right? Like, when I go somewhere with four friends, do you, like, let's say you go to dinner, right? And you're going to a dinner at a nice restaurant. It doesn't even have to be a nice restaurant. It could be Wendy's. I don't care where you're going. But if you're going with four friends, who has, if you're listening to this or watching this, who has ever gone and sat down at another table without your friends and talked to somebody else?
Right.
Never. Like, you've never done that. Like, if anyone's ever done that, please post up. Like, please contact us somehow, because I want to talk to you for sure. But, you know, nobody does that. So if you go alone, you have the opportunity, you have the ability to meet somebody new, and you never know where that's going to take you. It's incredible the way that people come around and into your life. And, you know, you never know. And then that friend might end up sending you a video of somebody else that's reading your book and highlighting it. Yeah, just makes you think.
So with that, you got this awesome book, bestseller. What is it? If you can't
wholesale after this, I've got nothing.
Yeah, I was like, oh my God. I had the books in my office too, and it's just incredible. So let's walk through a deal very, very quick. I never did this on a podcast, but imagine if, hey, I want to do my deal in the next 30 days. What are some steps that I need to take right now my first wholesale deal in the next 30 days. And guys, this is an experiment. I want you guys to listen to what Todd is going to say. And I want you to literally go do a deal in the next 30 days. So as soon as this podcast is over, I need you to go buy the book. That's the first thing I need you to do. And then I need you to go try to get a deal done in the next 30 days. Cause it's feasible, isn't it, Todd? This isn't like no pie in the sky. Like, this is, you have helped thousands of people go get their first deal.
So, yes, 100% possible to do your first deal in the next 30 or so days. Literally the first review on Amazon. So the book is on Amazon. It's called If You Can't Wholesale After This, I've Got Nothing For You. It's the first part of a 3-part series. The first review on Amazon is actually somebody posting a picture of the book. I can't remember if the picture of the check that he got is on Amazon or if he just sent it to me. I think he just sent it to me. But he actually talks about how he had been trying to get a deal for months, and he switched to the strategies in the book, and he got his first deal in 2 weeks. In just like a couple of weeks, boom, right off the bat, got a check, and he's off to the races at that point. I remember talking to him after that. It was like, you want to talk about humbling and like an incredible feeling. That's unbelievable. So
it sounds incredible.
When you keep the process simple, you can absolutely do a deal in the next 30 or so days. If I was going to give you a 5-step process, literally step number one, you have to find a title company or an attorney that is ready to close a wholesale type of transaction. So they need to be able to do an assignment of contract, which is just a fancy way of selling your interest in a property. So if you put a property under contract for sale or for purchase, you can then sell that contract for a price or for a fee to another buyer. So they need to be able to do that, or what's called a double closing. The assignment is much simpler and easier, so we'll focus on that. Number two would be most important piece about this. Remember when we talked about gaining clarity? Like, a lot of people don't know how to, like, how do I close the deal? So I never go talk to buyers. I never go talk to sellers. I never do anything past that. Number one, got to go find your title company. They'll take care of you, right? They'll take care of the paperwork. You don't have to worry about anything else. Number two, step number two, you have to go network with people who want to buy properties. So go find out what they want to buy. Because if you do it backwards like this, if you go find buyers before sellers, you're locating properties for buyers. You know what they want. You know what they're willing to pay. You know what their criteria is. And at that point, you just got to go find it. So you're never going to have a situation where you put a property under contract to purchase. Like, you're not going to sign a seller's agreement or a purchase agreement with a seller and never have a buyer, because then you risk not being able to sell that property, right? Then at that point, you're also acting as a realtor. I see no difference in you or a realtor at that point. So you're trying to separate yourself and build value by having a network and being able to solve problems for sellers. So step number two, network with performing buyers, figure out what they want. Step number three is go find it. Go find that, you know, seller, go find that property that works for your buyer. And the second you have an agreement with a seller that's at a lower price than what your buyer is willing to pay, you've just created yourself a spread. So step number four, that's step number three. Step one, find title company. Step two, network with performing buyers. Step three, go speak with sellers, go find them a property. Step number four is actually put the property under contract. Sign a purchase agreement with a seller. Let's just use $50,000 as an example. You're buying the house from the seller for $50,000. You know your buyer is willing to pay $75,000. So you go to your buyer, you sign an assignment contract, separate assignment contract. It just states all the details of the deal. The seller is selling to me for $50,000. The end buyer is buying off me for $75,000. I am getting $25,000 payment for interest in the property that I am passing to the buyer, and the seller will receive the original $50,000 that was agreed upon. That's step four. Step five, go to closing. Literally, and if you're assigning, like, all you gotta do is send the paperwork to the title company or the attorney, depending on what market or state you're in, and they will do everything for you. If you're assigning a contract, you don't even have to go to closing. You're done already. The seller will sign the closing documents. That'll sign the property over to the buyer. The buyer signs the closing documents, passes off the money to the title company. Title company gives the seller $50,000, and then they give you $25,000 as your spread. And now you created $25,000 out of thin air. You have no license, no credit, no money, no experience. What better way to do it? Like, wow. No risk. If you do it that way, there's no risk, because your buyer is going to buy the property every time, and your seller is taken care of, and you've solved the problem for them, and everyone's happy, and you've created $25,000 for providing a massive value to two different people.
Wow. And this is probably what you're thinking to our guests listening right now. You're probably thinking, man, this sounds too good to be true. You're probably like, nah, there's no way I can make $25,000 in 30 days without having any money, any credit. You can do it. He has proof of hundreds of people who have literally used the strategy. So for anyone who's listening right now, I need you to understand this. This works. But it will only work if you do. Please don't try to overcomplicate it. He has made it as simple as possible. This is a universal law for wholesaling. You just got to take action. So in the show notes, you'll have the link to the website to go buy the book. Go get the book. Take massive action. I want you to do your first deal. And then I want you to come back, reach out to me, reach out to Todd and say, hey, because of this podcast, I did my first deal, right? And it literally can happen. And I want to say it's going to be you. So I'm super excited for you guys in that point. So that's good.
Incredible feeling when people do it too. Like, as long as you take the, I will literally promise you, if you take the action and stay consistent and don't quit, you're going to get deals. It's actually not possible for you not to.
Wow. It's almost impossible for you not to get a deal if you do the work.
Yep. Because there's so many problems out there. Like, you literally can't drive down the street with outpassing problems that you don't even know about. So once you learn how to locate those, and once you learn how to actually speak into those people, like, though, there is no limits on what you can do. I know people doing $500,000 a month just wholesaling. That's no risk, no money out of pocket. The only money that they have out of pocket now is their team members, because they're obviously building a team, and marketing. So once you get to a point, you want to scale through marketing. But in the beginning, and in the book, I talk about it. There's hundreds of ways to market yourself for completely free, for totally free. I didn't spend a dime on marketing until I was doing multiple deals per month. at that point I was like, okay, this is the time to scale. And that's why I talk about it in the book, was like the first half, their first half is built in mindset, like building you up to a point where like when you hit a speed bump, you can get through it. And then the last half of the book is literally a step-by-step blueprint, teaching you how to market, teaching you what to say, scripts. I mean, everything, answers all the questions for you.
It's crazy because I literally remember you posted something like, hey, I just found this deal on Craigslist and now it's making me like $400 in PA, I think. Now it's making me like $400 positive cash flow a month, right?
Yep.
It was something in that regards, but that was a free lead essentially, Craigslist.
Oh, or yeah.
Wherever you told me it was from.
ROI like on that is literally an infinite sign.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, totally, completely free. Yep.
Wow, and that's incredible. So we talk about success a lot. I talk to you guys on and offline, my various friends. We talk about a lot of what's working. Share with me one of the things that over this last year or two that was a failure, something that you had to bounce back from or adjust. Because one of the things with Accelerate the Great, I want to help our listeners get to their desired goals as quick as possible. But I also want to help them avoid some of the mistakes that you have made, some of the mistakes that I have made. So if you had any failures, anything you would want someone to avoid in the last few years, let us know. So, for example, one of my biggest mistakes that I think over the last year when business was growing and everything like that, I should have accelerated a little faster. Like I should have been running more ads. I should have been paying for traffic. I should have been at more events. I basically should have been doing a lot more of what I was doing instead of thinking like, oh, this is going great. No, although it's going great, how can I 10X it, right? And I think a lot of entrepreneurs, we get in a comfort state where, okay, I'm now making $250,000 a month or $250,000 a year. I'm comfortable, I'm cool. And then sometimes that begins to decline because you didn't keep up that same intensity that you once had when you started it. So that's literally a mistake that I made, that I slowed down in my intensity. I should have kept my intensity burning at almost, you know, light speed if I could, only so it could pretty much pad me where I don't have to worry about, oh, if a decline happens, I'll be all right. So that was my biggest mistake and something that I'm preaching to people. When things are going good, make them even greater.
Yeah, I love that. A little bit of stagnancy kills that big momentum that we talked about, right? So it's tough to like get the tires turning again. I definitely have some examples of that for sure. I think, especially in the beginning, I think everyone's will's like a little bit for sale because they don't know any better. They're like, oh, my life's better than it's ever been. So, and like you forget to visualize and see like what's even bigger. We were speaking offline before this, and you only reach towards what you think is possible, right? So you actually inspired me before to like travel a little bit. So now that I traveled a little bit and I was like, all right, you know, I want the Ferraris in the house and everything, like, you know, in the process of like working on buying a 458, like Ferrari and everything. And then like I met a guy with a Koenigsegg. You know, $3 million car, went and saw like 6 Paganis, you know, like multiple $1 million cars, the LaFerrari, like the big dollar ones. And I'm like, cause I went and traveled, I went to Beverly Hills, I went and saw the guys, went and met the guys, talked to the guys that, you know, have these things, the mega yachts, like the hotels on water, basically, you know, the couple $1,000 dinners, like went and did that stuff. And I'm like, oh, that's what's possible. I got to be reaching higher. So like the momentum and like the action like picks up from that. So it's funny that you mentioned that. So the stagnancy for sure, but a real tangible one, because I want to give tangible, like actionable.
Yes, that's good. I appreciate that.
Is one of the biggest ones that I made recently is I really needed to let someone go. And I hesitated because I was scared about what would happen. I never really needed to let someone go before. For whatever reason, I was just blessed and like, the team building that we had always just kind of worked out, and like people were fitting roles really well. And now granted, on intake, like very, very picky, match personalities to roles, things like that, really focus on people's whys and like what they want to do or what they need to be doing versus like, hey, here's the criteria for the job role and like somebody needs to fill it. We always look for the type of person versus like what the role actually is. So that's helped a lot, but I really needed to let someone go. And it became a toxic environment for like 3 months before it finally happened. And after it happened, just everything's better. The atmosphere is better, more profitable, more revenue. The community's happy. Like, every possible situation is better.
Wow.
Because we were able to move on from, you know, from what was happening. Wow. So that was the biggest mistake that I've made in the past year, and it was 100% fear-based.
Wow. Now let me ask you, are you using some sort of software to get people's personalities though? You know how you're saying we identify what our role is, and then we find the personality that we need to fix it? Like, what are you using to understand how this person thinks or act?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's amazing because when people will tell you one thing, because they actually believe that to be true, because maybe they've never taken a personality test or an instinct test or anything like that. Now, there's a lot of them out there. I understand that. But the one that is actually my favorite, it's not one that gives you like, hey, you're strong, motivated, determined. Like, it doesn't give you words like that, or even letters, because you forget letters, you forget words. So the one that I actually have people take now, it's actually an elemental test. So it's like fire, earth, wind, and water. And then they give you the descriptions of each. And then it ranks you in those four. And what it does is it gives you an idea of like, oh, I'm a big action taker, and I'm not too worried about accounting or like earthy style things. I am more into action and movement and trying and adapting. So like, you don't want to put four fires in a room together, right? Because then like you have a blaze. So if you have like a fire and a water, and so the water kind of moves through everything. So they kind of adapt and move, and they got idea. Like, and then you have the wind, who is like the big idea person, the visualizer, the person who's like always throwing ideas out there. And then there's the earth, who like actually brings it together with like the actionable steps and all that stuff. So if you're able to match those people together, things have gone really, really well for us. I'm trying to think of the website for you.
When you figure it out, let me know so we can put it in the show notes. I want to do it for my team as well.
Yeah, if you Google like elemental personalities test or earth element or personality element test, it should come up. But those are the four that they rank you in, and then your top two, and it describes like how your personality really is, and it's like it's only like 15 questions long. It's not like one of those 75 question, you know, bear of a contract kind of deal where it takes 45 minutes to fill out. It's usually pretty quick, and then you actually learn a lot about yourself. I think it's really helpful to just do that, even if you're not joining a team right now. That way you can learn more about yourself and be more self-aware.
I appreciate that. Give me one other key to building a successful team. Like you said, your team is growing, you're getting better, and a lot of our listeners are, they work by themselves, so they want to add that new person on the team. One of the essential components I think everyone needs to add first is always adding a virtual assistant. I think it is imperative, and you're able to do it at an amazing price, and it can literally help you grow your business. Because one of the things we do now, certain tasks that we shouldn't touch at your level, at my level, we shouldn't be touching $10 an hour tasks, $20 an hour tasks. We only should be focusing on tasks that are exponentially growing our businesses and growing ourselves. So one of the things that I'm doing is hiring more people around me to handle tasks that either I'm not good at, or I just don't have any time or business doing. So that's a little growth hack, guys. You can find a VA also at, I think, onlinejobs.ph, where I personally got mine from taskeveryday.com, and let them know Nehemiah sent you, and they probably can even give you a better deal than what they already get. But that's a quick growth hack and something tangible. Get you a VA to work you 20 hours a week, and that will help you immensely. But give us your team building hacks, T.
Yeah, the especially hiring your first person or your second person, switching your mindset from like you being most important to taking care of others and providing for others. And also investing in these invisible systems. These things need to be done before you're comfortable to do it. So you're never actually going to feel like, oh, I have the money to do it, or I have the revenue, or I have this or that, because the money or the revenue is not going to get there without you doing that. So you actually have to take that little bit of a leap, which can be really, really difficult to do. to hire somebody before you're actually totally comfortable in doing it, because the money's never going to actually make sense up front. It's going to make sense on the back end, which can be really, really difficult and uncomfortable to convince yourself to do. So be aware of that for sure. I would actually agree with an assistant first, because when you look at your day, go back to that one most important thing, right? And building that clarity. In actual revenue generating activities, 1 to 2 a day, there's typically, right? There isn't 52, but there's always 52 things to do. If you can focus on those 1 or 2 things, then you're going to have the ability to actually grow and scale and actually hit a bunch of traction. That way it's actually moving your meter as opposed to it just kind of sitting still.
No, phenomenal. That was phenomenal advice. No, I appreciate that. So guys, we're about to wrap up. We're going to do a couple more questions and let Ty get out of here. But I hope you guys are taking a lot of notes, because I'm sitting here writing notes as we speak. So T, one of the things that you said something important, and I want to say my favorite quote, once your mind is expanded to a new concept or idea, it's hard to go back to its original way of thinking. And you going out to LA, eating $1,000 dinner, seeing these new cars, it raised your level of what I can have, right? And the same with me traveling around the world. I have been 49 countries now to see some of the most incredible things that are known to man, swimming with whale sharks, petting lions, petting tigers. And that literally expanded my mind to make me believe I can own a private jet, because I've seen average people like me who now own them, right? So how important, and we touched on a little bit, how important is that, and how often should you put yourself in a state of doing things like that for yourself, for your growth?
I'm a big believer in constantly now, like literally once a month. Like, you need to be moving at a pace that is uncomfortable now. Like, you need to build a foundation. Don't get me wrong. You need to build a big, strong foundation where you're comfortable in yourself and understanding self-awareness and understanding where you're at and where you want to go. But to gain that perspective and gain that like real reach ability, I'm going to call it reach ability, is you have to gain others' perspectives, and you have to see things that you didn't expect to see. So when you sit in your comfort zone too long, you believe things to be absolutely true until you go somewhere else. And then you realize, well, those things aren't true at all. Like, there's other possibilities and other opportunities. And you can only do that by getting out of your comfort zone and traveling. So like, well, something that was uncomfortable for me was actually going to LA for the past 10 days and taking my 2-year-old on a 5-hour flight. Like, that was not, that was like, oh my gosh, how's this going to go? This might be a nightmare. He was amazing. You know, he didn't make a peep the whole time. But so, I mean, maybe I got lucky there, but he's pretty chill like his dad. But in being there now and understanding like how life is lived, you know, off of Rodeo Drive and up in the hills and like Bel Air, it's like, people are buying those things. How are they buying those things? Oh, they have businesses. What businesses do they have? What actions did they take? How uncomfortable were they? Like, one of my favorite shows in the world is Impact Theory with Tom Bilyeu. Like, he is, we call him the Godfather. Like, you can learn so much, and like, in putting yourself in like that area that he's even in will raise you up and, you know, increase your reachability. So I went from, yeah, I'm going to have this and this, and it's going to be amazing, because maybe it's amazing for this area or that area or whatever. But when you go there, you're like, oh, I'm gonna have that. I can go get that. I'm gonna create something that changes the world, and I'm gonna end financial suffering for other people through power of finance, and it's gonna like enable me to do anything for anybody.
That's good. So I want to end this with some 3 tangible finance tips that you would like to share. But before I do that, just one thing. I met Tom Bilyeu. This is before I knew who he was. This was over a year and a half ago at an entrepreneur event in like Texas. When I say this dude, and you know, he's a billionaire. Most billionaires, they value their time so much. And just, you know, most billionaires, you can't get the most billionaires where you're going to sit, have a conversation with them. They normally got security. They, you know, this is even millionaires. I don't got time. This guy sat in the hallway, I was intrigued, for 4 hours after his talk and just talked to people, answering questions round after round after round after round. And at my mind, and this is for any entrepreneur out here, never get too big where you can't talk to people, where you can't add value to other people, because this guy is a billionaire. He stood in that hallway for 3 hours just
adding value, answering questions. But do you know what that did for people's mindset? Like, man, if this guy is doing that, I need to do it. And it probably, the level of his likability went up probably times 1,000 because he answered your question. He added value to you. He took a picture with you. And he did this for at least 4 hours. And from my understanding, he do this every conference he goes speak at. Right? So imagine if we did stuff like this. So anyone listening, how can you increase your likability? What can you do to take you one step further, right? What can you do now to help you basically increase your likability? So I wanted to just share that because I think that could be useful for someone out here who feel like I don't got time to talk or I don't got time to meet, I don't got time to network. When I seen him do it, I thought it was huge.
Yeah, and that's a billionaire. That's somebody that created like the number two company on Inc., fastest growing, was wow. Quest Nutrition. Yeah, that's so when, and that's another thing. Like, if you respect time and respect your time and others' time, like there's always time. Like the excuse of like, oh, I don't have time, like that's just a BS excuse. True. And that's because you don't respect time. You show up late, you wake up late, you go to bed late, like everything adds up. So like when you do all those things, you know, yeah, you're not going to have time because you don't respect it. If you don't show up for time, why would time show up for you?
Facts. So T, a lot of people, man, we're struggling out here with finances, and a lot of the things we're struggling with, we put ourselves in it. We go get the consumer debt. We allow the holidays. We'll go spend thousands of dollars or at Christmas. And then we got to focus on trying to pay it off the whole year. Like, we just put ourselves sometimes in holes. And I did it before as well. I'm happy I'm not so much focused on consumer debt now and more like things that don't actually bring me back a return. But what are some of the biggest struggles that you see that people are having, and how can they solve them? Like, a lot of things can be solved with their actions and with their mindset. But one of the things I also learned, the same mindset that created this bad habit, you got to change your mindset in order for you to get out of that habit.
Yeah, the same mind that created the problem won't solve it, for Facts. Sure. It's a lack of financial literacy is the biggest thing that I see, and just and a lack of understanding. So it's not taught in school. It's not taught by your parents. It's not taught like in the media. So where do you learn? It can be difficult to learn. So when I was trying to learn, I didn't even know where to go. I was like, how the hell do I learn about something that is, you know, so taboo and people don't talk about? Well, I had to seek out people that were doing what I wanted to do. I had to seek out people that had millions of dollars. I had to seek out people that were creating repeat income, hundreds of thousands of dollars a month. Like, what are they doing? What are they doing with their money? Like, even more importantly, once they get money, what do they do with it? Because they don't just put it into a car. I was the guy that like put it into a car and then it was gone forever. Like, I had that bad habit. I was putting it into consumer things, just like you mentioned. And then like around holiday time, go spend thousands, put yourself in debt, try to pay it off all year. Even if you do happen to pay it off in a year, which, you know, you don't, you start over at zero again because you keep putting your money into things that go down to zero. So the three best tips that I can absolutely give, like if you follow these three financial, like there's more than three, but if you follow these three financial principles, your life will be financially improved in a matter of a couple weeks. That quickly. Does not have to be months, doesn't have to be a year, doesn't have to be 2 years. If you start following this, and I have proof from multiple people, very confident in this, if you follow these three financial principles, your financial life will be better.
Listen up, people.
Rule number one, you have to pay yourself first. And what that means is the second you get any sort of income, it could be one-time income, it could be your weekly check, bi-weekly check, monthly check, it could be alimony, it could be child support, I don't care what it is. The second you get income, if you find $10 on the street, that's income. You have to take at least, at minimum, 10% of that and put it into a separate account that the money doesn't come out of. So it could be a savings account, it could be an investment account, I don't care what it is. It has to be something in which you are putting it to the side because that money is for you. You work hard, you have to pay yourself first. It's time to start putting yourself in front of Discover Card, Chase Card, Citi Card. I was going to say Toys R Us, but they're gone. Best Buy, you know, like what, like Amazon. Like, you have to start putting yourself in front of everybody else. You are the most important thing in your life. Without you, nothing else happens around you, right? So you have to pay yourself first, rule number one. And what that'll do is you're going to start to see that money grow, because that money can't come out for rent. It can't come out for mortgage. It can't come out for utilities. It can't come out for absolutely anything. You have to start stacking that money. And once you see that money growing and it's always moving up, you'll have different options with it later on. and it's going to build a bunch of confidence in you. So rule number one, pay yourself first. Rule number two, you have to get your bad debt organized. You have to start eliminating your bad debt. Bad debt, consumer debt, credit card debt, they're not on a plan. So the interest that you're paying, if you're making a minimum payment on a credit card, it takes an average of 35 to 40 years to pay it off. It'll actually say that on your statement. It's required for them to say that. So look at your statement. It'll even give you like a little schedule and it'll say, if you're making the minimum payment, it'll take about this amount of time to pay off. It's typically in the 30 to 40, even 50 year range. Really, really scary stuff. Who cares about the interest rate being 25% because you're going to pay on it for 50 years if you make the minimum payment. Most important thing you can do is organize your debt. So you need to get it onto a schedule. You can do consolidations. There's different plans, but my favorite one is a consolidation. Loan, don't go out and get a 0% card because you already have this bad habit. So if you put all those cards on a 0% card and then you don't pay it off in time, you got all this interest that's not on a plan again. It's just revolving. You're just making interest payments and no principal payment. So get bad debt onto a plan. So get a consolidation loan, put the cards on that. They'll actually pay it off for you like on the phone. And then you'll be on this amortized plan. So even if you make a minimum payment, you're going to pay it off in 4 or 5 years. But here's the best part. The interest is typically lower. So your minimum payment's actually going to be half of the total of what you used to be paying. So what should you do? You should probably take what you've been paying, that full amount, even though it's uncomfortable, and continue to pay that. But now you're making a double payment on your minimum, and now your debt's going to be paid off in 18 months. So you can actually be debt-free in 18 months if you organize it correctly. So rule one, or principle one, pay yourself first. Rule number two, organize your bad debt. And rule number three is start understanding true value. Stop buying things that go to zero because you have to continuously restart. This is consumer stuff. Like, let's just use cars as an example because these are an easy one. Most people buy, when they need a car, they go buy a new car for $25,000. They get it for 1, 2, 3% loan, whatever. They pay on it for 5 years, and in 5 years, they're excited because they paid it off. 3 months later, they got to go buy a new car because this car has 140,000 miles on it. It's completely wasted, and they go trade it in or sell it for basically zero. So that actually goes down to zero. So what is the true value of that vehicle? It's actually zero. It's not 25 grand. You've just paid $30,000 over time for something that's actually worth zero. So if you continuously give away 30 grand every 5 years, it's going to be tough to build and scale on. So you need to find things of true value. You need to stop looking at like what the cheapest thing is, what the cheapest sale is, and start looking at things that actually hold their value or will continue to return your money back to you. So I like cars. I like watches. If I'm going to go buy a watch, I'm going to go buy a $12,000 Hublot over a $300 Bulova, because a $300 Bulova from the mall, the second I buy it, I've lost $250 at minimum. I'm never going to be able to resell it for $300. Might be able to sell it for $50 on Craigslist. Meanwhile, if I buy a $12,000 Hublot, I can go resell it after wearing it for a while for $12,000. I get all my money back. I haven't lost anything. It's more money up front, but in the end, the value is better. So understanding true value in day-to-day items, looking at the market, looking at a depreciation curve and saying, okay, this is for sale online right now for $30 less than what I'm about to pay at the store. The true value of that item is $30 less. So you shouldn't overpay for it. So those are the three steps. Pay yourself first, organize your bad debt, understand true value, and your financial life will be different in a matter of a couple of weeks.
And it's so crazy. This stuff sounds so simple.
It is. Keep it simple.
We overcomplicate it. Someone's going to say, but that sounds too good to be true. No, this is exactly what you need to do, and you can be on your way to achieving success in your life. And another thing that I would say, before you start making your purchases, I think this is important, see, for people to start actually doing. Don't look at how much it costs you to purchase something. Look at how much time it costs you to get it. So, for example, guys, if a pair of sneakers costs $300 and you make $10 an hour, let's say those sneakers cost you 30 hours to make it, right? You don't want to exchange 30 hours of your time for a pair of sneakers that's going to depreciate as soon as you buy them and you're not going to wear them a year from now. So with a lot of the purchases I make or what I tell people to do, how much time did it cost you to pay for that purchase? You buying a $600 belt? How much time, young man, did you have to take? You had to work 2 weeks, give away two weeks of your life in order to get a belt that you won't even wear a year from now. So start looking into things such as real estate. Start looking into things such as
watches that actually retain their value, right? Look at things that will pay you. And one of the greatest investments, and we will close out here, is the investment of what you're willing to invest in yourself. Start picking up books. Start going, getting courses. Join groups like Circle of Greatness. Join groups like Kingdom Real Estate. You need to put yourself around winners. And if you do this enough, eventually you will win. And there's nothing else to say other than put yourself around winners, invest in yourself, and apply these principles, guys. I promise you, a lot of things would change for you guys. So, Ty, please tell everybody how they can become a member in Kingdom Real Estate, as well as where they can get the book. We'll plug it in the show notes, but please share it here.
Absolutely. Yeah, you can get the book. If you can't wholesale after this, I've got nothing for you, which the reviews of that have been truly, truly humbling. It's been amazing seeing it in, you know, the top 10 of real estate books and top couple thousand on the bestsellers list out of millions and millions of books, which is just truly crazy. You can find that on Amazon. It's ebook and paperback right now. Audiobook in the future, but right now focus on paperback and ebook. That way you can be taking notes and everything. It's important that you have it in front of you. And I want it to be used as a guide. So if you have a problem, you can literally open it, go to that problem and solve it. So you can find that on Amazon. You can join the Kingdom Real Estate at thekingdomrealestate.com. So you can join up and go through our workshop, and then you're added to the community and the family. And then you have a support system to raise you up and keep you consistent in real estate and building your wealth. And you can find me at Todd_M_Fleming on Instagram. I'm really taking a focus on that and putting a lot of content on that right now. So make sure to check that out. And then last but not least, you can find me at hosting the Power of Finance show. I have a free Facebook group. It's called Power of Finance with Todd Fleming. So you can give that a look. That's where the live show is at right now. But there's a YouTube and an Instagram and everything coming for that. So that is all in the works. But that is where you can find me.
Let's go. So, guys, with that being said, thank you for tuning in to Accelerate the Great. I'm your host, Nehemiah Davis, with special guest Todd Fleming. And I hope you get a lot of value from this call. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Have a great day, and we'll see you on the next podcast.